Episode 131. Welcome to the Take Up Code podcast, where you can learn valuable insights and skills in programming. I'm Waheed Tanner and will be your host today. You may not always need to work with this data type, but that doesn't mean you can ignore it. If you don't at least know the basics, then you'll get lost in code that uses function pointers. The best way to become a professional programmer is to start writing code. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. Have you considered attending a Take Up Code live class? Text PROGRAM to the short number 44222 and you'll be on your way. Before we begin, I'd like to mention a little about the weekend classes. I just started explaining SFML, which stands for the Simple and Fast Multimedia Library. It's a great way to learn about game development. In the last class, we started building a bouncing ball game. It doesn't do a lot yet. It's just an image of a green sphere that moves up and down on the screen. It's running on my Mac and on Windows with almost the same code. It took 3 hours to explain the code in the class, from the very beginning to this point. I take things step by step, and that doesn't mean I just break up the final solution into pieces. We start with an empty project, and I show you how I go about developing software, including all the temporary steps that never make it into the final solution. These temporary steps are really important, though, to make sure that things are working as expected. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention it. Sometimes topics like function pointers can get a bit involved, and focusing on a real project for a while can be a great way to improve your learning. Alright, this episode will explain class member function pointers. The concepts apply to pointers to any class members, though. A pointer to a class member function is not like an ordinary pointer, because it may not point directly to the function. It could be just an offset. You can assign the value of null pointer, but you can't convert it to another type of regular pointer, such as a void pointer. This has some interesting benefits, but let me first give you an example of what this would be like in the real world. Let's say you have some ordinary functions in your life that provide the steps needed to accomplish certain tasks. One of these would be a function to take the trash out to the roadside for pickup. I need to run that function myself soon. Another function would be one that takes a shopping list as an argument and provides instructions for driving to the store to buy the things on the list. These are just regular functions. One takes no arguments, and one does. Let's not worry about the return type for now, and just say they both return void. Regular pointers to these functions would need to be different types because the parameters are different. So let's change that for this example and say that the shopping list will be sent to your phone instead of provided along with the request to go shopping. Now both methods return void and take no arguments, and we can have a single pointer type that can point to either of them. The pointer comes in the form of a note left on the kitchen counter. The note will have a list of things to do. Yes, that means there's usually more than just one pointer. It's a whole list of function pointers. But the key is that each one identifies a specific task to be done. I'll explain how class member function pointers are different right after this message from our sponsor. If you need help with your programming, all you need to do is register for one of the Take Up Code free or paid live classes. You can attend with just your computer and an internet connection from anywhere in the world. There's currently room for 25 people to attend, and as of now, the 1-hour intro class is free, and the 2-hour beginner class is $20. There's a lot more that I can explain when you can see my screen and ask questions. Text the word PROGRAM to the number 44222, and you'll be on your way. You can also visit takeupcode.com to begin. Alright, you're about to start a trip to the store to buy things, and you get into your car. Some cars have different places to insert the key and different ways to change gears. And ignoring for a moment differences between left and right driving, all cars and trucks generally agree on the placement of the steering wheel, the gas pedal, and the brake pedal. You have functions for how to turn the car left while driving, how to speed up, and how to slow down. But these are not global methods that you can run at any time. You have to be in a car in order to press the brake pedal. This is a class member function where the car is the class. In order to use a regular pointer, you have to have a single location to find the instructions for a method. But this isn't the case for virtual methods in a class like a car, because there can be an abstract class that defines the turn left method but provides no implementation. Where would you point to for the instructions then? Maybe there's a class that derives from the abstract class but still doesn't implement the turn left method. You still have no place for your pointer to refer to. Finally, a car class derives from the abstract class and implements the turn left method. Great, you think. You now have some code in memory that you can point to. But then another specialized car inherits from the basic car class and overrides the turn left method to do its own thing. Maybe it could detect if the car is sliding and decide that the wheels actually need to point to the right in order to continue turning left. It doesn't matter what the new behavior is. The point is, you don't have a specific address in memory that you can point to that contains the instructions for how to turn left. The basic turn left method does exist in memory at a specific location, and so does the enhanced version. Which one you call needs to be determined based on which car you happen to be sitting in at the time. These are virtual methods, and you can only have virtual methods in classes or structs. There's no such thing as a global virtual method. And this is why pointers to class member functions need to be treated special. A pointer to a virtual class member function is just an offset from the beginning of the class instance where you find yet another pointer to the correct method. Think of it like this. When you get in a car, the first thing you should do is adjust your seat, correct? Why? Because we've each developed preferred locations for the most comfortable distances to find the steering wheel and the pedals. These locations are just offsets from where we're sitting. You can get in any car, even one you've never driven before, and with a little adjustment, feel right at home. Maybe a race car that detects sliding would be a bit of a challenge. But otherwise, we each have an offset for where to find each of the car methods. We change the seat to keep these offsets the same. A computer doesn't need to adjust the seat position. It can store offsets directly, depending on the actual class member function that you assign to a pointer. What about non-virtual class members? Maybe a class data member, or a non-virtual method, or a static method. These are things that your compiler needs to consider, and it might need to treat them differently, or maybe it can optimize some aspects. When you declare a class member function pointer, you follow the same syntax for a regular pointer, except that you put the class name followed by double colon scope resolution operator before the star inside the parentheses where a function name would normally be. What this means is that a class function pointer is specific to a class. The pointer type depends on the class type, not the instance. You still call the class method through the instance, though. That doesn't change. Anytime you call a class instance method, you have to do so through the instance. For example, if you want to declare a pointer to a class instance method to turn a car left, then you declare the type of your pointer based on the class type of the car, the return type of the method, and the method parameter types, if any. Declaring the type of the pointer like this first makes it easy to use that pointer type later in your code. Then you create an instance of the pointer and assign the pointer to point to the left turn method of the car class. So far, nothing in this relies on any actual instance of a car. It's all about the type. Assigning the pointer to point to the left turn method really just assigns an offset to the pointer that will be used later. Then, only when you have an instance of a car, and you could have either a car directly or a pointer to a car instance, once you have a car, that's when you can call the turn left method through the car. If you have a pointer to the car, then you write the name of the car pointer followed by what looks like the normal pointer dereferencing operator, which looks like an arrow. This is then followed by a star. That's the key that you're going through something special. Then you write the name of your function pointer variable instead of the left turn method itself. It's a similar syntax when working with a car instance directly, just without the arrow. You use a dot followed by the star. The syntax is probably confusing, I know, especially through just audio. I recommend that you try function pointers and class member function pointers in your code and then refer back to this episode. It'll make a lot more sense when you can type code and see the syntax while I'm explaining it. Don't worry if the star here, the arrow there, or the parentheses someplace else doesn't make sense in this podcast. For this podcast, focus on the concepts and refer back here again when you're able to focus on the details. You can even take this a step further and join one of the live classes where you can see my screen as I'm programming. I'll end this episode with one final thing to consider. A normal pointer points to a specific location in memory. It doesn't matter what type the pointer points to. It could be a simple variable or a regular method. And a pointer to a non-virtual member method or static method could be implemented more like a regular pointer. You can't pass normal pointers from one process to another. I'm talking about separate processes or applications running on your computer. Let's say you have a game application with a pointer to a normal method. This method does live somewhere in the computer memory. But even so, you can't pass this pointer to another application and expect it to have any real meaning. That's because modern operating systems make use of capabilities provided by the processor to give each application its own address space. Pointers to memory in one application have no meaning in another application. But a pointer to a virtual class member function is just an offset. It's not a pointer to some memory address. As long as the other application has the same concept of how the class instance is structured in memory, then you can pass this type of pointer to another application. I've never done this in any of my applications, and while it might be possible, I'll advise you to think hard about this before you do it. It could break if you upgrade your compiler and rebuild one of the applications with the new compiler while leaving the other application unchanged. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the other episodes, and if you get value, please give the Take Up Code podcast a rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a review. I'll select several people who take the time to provide thoughtful reviews, good or bad, and give you a shout out and a big thank you during our Q&A Fridays. Your support goes a long way to helping this podcast thrive and help others learn how to program. If you have any questions about this episode or even other programming questions, please ask. Just go to takeupcode.com/contact and submit your question. The Q&A Friday episodes are where I'll answer one or more submitted questions. Until next time, keep learning. But even better, keep doing. If you want to learn how to program, then start programming. And you'll learn and get better, and your mind will expand in ways you never thought possible.